In this week's parsha, at the end of the parsha, it talks about the mitzvah tefillin, and the pasuk describing the mitzvah tefillin.
Thank you.
Says v'hoyu l'chol la'os hayotcha ulizikron be'enecha. The tefillin should be as an ois and as ikorin. Aman tia teres Hashem b'ficha. In order that the words of Hashem, teres Hashem, should be in your mouth. Kibiyotcha zuka hutziyacha Hashem imitzrayim. To remember that Kadosh Baruch Hu took you out with Yad Chazaka. So this phrase, the man tia teres Hashem b'ficha, is questionable. What exactly is this the idea of the man? In order that tia teres Hashem b'ficha. So the Bach in Simen Ches, in Arachayim Simen Ches, says a fascinating idea. So we generally do mitzvahs. We don't do mitzvahs because there's a reason behind doing the mitzvah. We do the mitzvah because you do a mitzvah. Even the more talks about the idea of having reasons behind mitzvahs, etc. But that's not why you do a mitzvah. Here we are, and the Torah says, in order that, there's a reason why we're doing this. So the Torah says there's three places in the Torah, and that's it. It says it by tzitzis, the mantis grew of asisem, put on where tzitzis in order that you'll remember Hashem's mitzvahs. It says by sukkahs, you should sit in a sukkah in order that to remember Hashem gave us a canopy of protection while we left Mitzrayim. You should know that Hashem put us in sukkahs when we left Mitzrayim. And over here it says, so the Baruch and Simon Ches suggests by these three mitzvahs where the Torah says, in order that, if you don't fulfill the order that, you're lacking in the mitzvah. If I put on tzitzis and I don't think that the purpose of tzitzis is to remind me about Hashem's mitzvahs, so then I did not fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. If I sit in a sukkah and I do not think about the fact the purpose of a sukkah is to remind me that Hashem gave us sukkahs when we left Mitzrayim, if I don't have that thought, I do not fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. If I put on tefillin and I do not think l'mantia teres Hashem b'ficha, I do not fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin. This is what the Bach suggests. So these are unique mitzvahs in this sense. Now, when you talk about the tzitzis, we understand what that means. We do it in order that you should remember Hashem's mitzvahs. Tzitzis acts as a reminder for the mitzvahs. So that's the goal. You put on tzitzis, you think about reminder for the mitzvahs. The Chofetz Chaim actually suggests that what you do is you train yourself. We all have our different ways. We have reminders, and nowadays on the phone, but you know, but whatever, right? Soon they'll just have a chip they put in your head for you. But you know, you have the good string around your finger, like my phone. That the reminder has this picture of a finger with a string around it, right? So our tzitzis are string. The reminder has to be for something. So you train yourself to remember the mitzvahs which are applicable nowadays. He says, so you learn a few mitzvahs and you memorize them. You learn a few more, and you memorize them, and so you'll know all of the mitzvahs. Out of the 613 mitzvahs which the Torah has, 270 apply nowadays. And the reminder for that, the seminar for that is, Ani Yisheno V'Libi Er. I'm sleeping. We've lost the Beis HaMikdash. We're not fully awake, but my heart is still awake. Er is the gematria 270. So he says, you'll memorize the 270 mitzvahs. Not so hard, right? 270 mitzvahs, right? And every time you look at your tzitzis, you remember all 270. That's the goal, the Chofetz Chaim says. Okay? Quite an accomplishment. You sit in the sukkah, and you think, I'm sitting in the sukkah to remind me of the canopy of the protection Hashem gave to the Jews when they left Mitzrayim in the Midbar for 40 years. They had the protection. Whatever the opinion was, what it was, what the protection was, that's what they had. What exactly is the mantia in Teres Hashem b'ficha? You put on tefillin in order that the words of Hashem, Teres Hashem, should be in your mouth. What does that mean? So the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Chaf Hei, which is the first siman talking about the mitzvah of putting on tefillin, he says an interesting list of things that you should have in mind when you put on tefillin. And we'll show that they actually parallel to before you put on, many times before you do a mitzvah, there's a paragraph you say which talks about what the purpose, remind us about the mitzvah. That's usually associated with the concept called the Shem Yichud. That's the starting word of most of those paragraphs, which is a Kabbalistic formula about how to do mitzvahs in the proper way Kabbalistically. So that's the Shem Yichud. That's the purpose. That was quite a disagreement whether you should say the Shem Yichud or not. The Hasidim felt you should. Misnatim felt you shouldn't, because if you don't know what you're talking about, you can make things worse. Right? But what's so interesting over here by tefillin is if you look at it, it's actually, there's two different parts to it. There's the Shem Yichud, and then there's the phrase, Hineni Mechaven. And behold, I am having intent, and I make a list of what I'm having intent for, and it's based on the language of the Shulchan Aruch. So let me read you the language of the Shulchan Aruch. He says, Yechaven Banachosam, when you put on tefillin, you should have in mind, Shetivon HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'niach Arba Parshiyos Eilu, Hashem commanded us to put on these four parshiyos, And these four parshas contain Sheyesh Behem Yichud Shmoy. The parsha of Shema talks about Hashem as one. Yitzias Mitzrayim, the parshas of Kadesh and Mahoy Kivyecha talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Al Azroya Keneged Halev, you put it on the arm, but near the heart. While Roish Keneged Amach, you put it on the head near the brain. Kesha Nizkar Nisim Niflo Shosimon, we remember Hashem's miracles. Shem Murma Yehuda, that they indicate Hashem's oneness. And he has total power to do whatever he wants. And then we then dedicate the service of our soul, we got malev in the service of our heart, which is ikar hatayvus and machshavus. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says you have to have in mind. So if you look at the parshiyos, and I think what the Bach is saying is that the Torah Hashem Meficha that you have to have in mind is the Torah of these four places where the Torah gave the mitzvah of tefillin. It's not talking about having the whole Torah in your mouth. That's going to be quite a challenge. It means the Torah of Hashem in conjunction with tefillin. The four places where the Torah spoke about tefillin, it gave certain concepts. The purpose of wearing tefillin is to remind you of these concepts. And Laman, in order that, Tiyas Hashem Meficha, that the words of the lessons of Hashem should be in your mouth. Which lessons? The lessons of these parshiyos. The lesson of the parsha of Shema, Hashem is one. The parsha of Hayim Shemai, that you commit to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you makabel all mitzvahs. That the parsha of Kadesh, that you remind Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and etc. So the paragraph which is introduces putting on tefillin, we basically say the same thing. It says I'm a chabim when I put on and list the name of the four parshiyos. Sheyesh Behem Yichud Avachdus Yisborach Shmoy Barulim, and has Hashem's oneness. Vishnisko Nisim Niflos, reminds us of Hashem's miracles. Shosi Yimon Abotzion Mitzrayim, which he did when he took us out of Mitzrayim. Vashir Lachayim Mishal Bayim Tatan, he has total power, total dominion. Vishnisko Behem Yichud Avachdus Yisborach on the Yad to remember Hashem's outstretched hand, and it corresponds to the heart. We should commit our desires to Hashem, etc. So this paragraph basically perfectly parallels the Shulchan Aruch's language. So different than your average L'shem Yichud, which is this Kabbalistic concept, this is really rooted in the Shulchan Aruch, it's really rooted in a tour before that, etc. So that's like the fascinating thing over here. Now, let's say a person does not have that in mind. Does he fulfill the mitzvah? Is this going to be ma'akev? Is this determinative in the fulfillment of the mitzvah or not? This is a question which the Mishnah Berurah discusses. And he says, in the name of the Prima Godim, that you do fulfill the mitzvah. Bidi Evid, if a person does not have in mind, he would still fulfill the mitzvah. It's not so simple, because the Aruch Lanier wrote a sefer on the... He wrote many sefer, but he wrote a sefer on Hilchos Sukkah and Arba Minim. And it's called Bikurei Yaakov. It was the first sefer that he wrote. His name was Yaakov, so it's Bikurei Yaakov. His Bikurim is first fruits of Yaakov. He wrote the sefer Bikurei Yaakov, and he says over there that you do not fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah without having this intent. So a person sits on the sukkah and does not think about the fact that the sukkah reminds us of Hashem's protection we had in the midbar, you do not fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. So again, you have on your somewhere on your the wall of your sukkah, you have this thing that talks about this paragraph, and it brings this posik. It's not just a nice flowery idea. According to the Bikurei Yaakov, this is determinative in whether you fulfill the mitzvah or not. It's ma'akev. We would assume, according to the Bikurei Yaakov, that would be true by tefillin as well, and by tzitzis as well. So Mishnah Berurah says it would come out a fascinating din. If a person puts on tzitzis and doesn't have this intent, you're wearing a four-corner garment without the mitzvah tzitzis, which is also to do. It's not just that you didn't do a mitzvah, you've actively been mavatal, let's say, of wearing a four-corner garment without the mitzvah tzitzis. That's what he suggests would happen. Theoretically, according to him, if you'd be sitting in the sukkah, you'd be eating a meal, not in the sukkah. You're not eating a meal the way a person would have to do to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. That's how far this would be taken. And the Bir Halacha actually raises this point and suggested that would be true. Just to segue that into a little bit of a general concept, there is a separate discussion called Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana. This is a special kavana which applies by these three mitzvahs. This intent of there's a lesson that it's teaching us, or it's talking about a reminder about something which took place. And we have to remember that. So that's by these three mitzvahs, and that's unique to these three mitzvahs. There's a general concept called Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana, which is a discussion in the Gemara, whether Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana or not. Now, what does that mean? So the Ramban points out that everybody agrees that a person, when they do the mitzvah, they should do the mitzvah for the purpose of fulfilling Hashem's commands. You should do that. He says, as a matter of fact, that's not just a nice idea. There's a positive commandment in the Torah to do your mitzvahs for the purpose of serving Hashem. Where is the positive commandment? We say it every single day, two times a day. In the second paragraph of Shema, it says, "Ulovde b'chol levavchem." You should serve Hashem with your heart. So the Rambam says that means you should daven. Which service is in the heart? It's referring to davening. And the Rambam said there's a mitzvah deraisa to daven every single day. The Ramban disagrees in his commentary on this, in the Sefer HaMitzvot. He says, no, there's no mitzvah to daven every day. Deraisa, it's the Rabbana. Deraisa, you have a mitzvah to daven whenever there's a difficulty. We have a situation of difficulty. The Pasuk says you should daven. But if the average idea of davening every day doesn't apply. What does apply is, so what does this mitzvah ulav demachol avavcha mean? It means when you serve Hashem, you're over him, do it with your heart, do it with focus that you're serving Hashem. So it means every time you fulfill the mitzvah, you have actually two mitzvahs you can do. You can do the mitzvah, and if you do the mitzvah with the purpose of serving Hashem, you get a second mitzvah. And we would argue possibly all around, and if you don't, you lost a mitzvah that you're commanded to do, according to the Ramban. So mitzvah jingles kavana means you do a mitzvah. The argument is whether b'di'evad you fulfill the mitzvah. But everybody agrees that the chatchila person, when any mitzvah you do, person should be doing it with the intent of serving Hashem, doing Hashem's commands. The idea of a mitzvah is that there's a commander, a commandee, and a command. I once had this fascinating. There's a Jewish newspaper in Cleveland. I'm from Cleveland, called the Cleveland Jewish News, and the Cleveland Jewish News once had an article written by a Reform rabbi about that he doesn't like the name bar mitzvah. Why we call this person a bar mitzvah when we don't believe in mitzvahs? We don't believe in a commander or a commandee. I'm not commanded. There's no commander and there's no commands. So why should we call it a mitzvah? What's the bar mitzvah? There's no mitzvah, mitzvah, or mitzvah. He says, so what should we call it? Instead, he says, we should call it a ben Torah. Because we agree, even though the Torah in our minds, he says, is not divine, but the Torah is what has kept the Jews alive for all the generations. Okay, that was his suggestion. But it's a fascinating point. The idea of mitzvah is that there's a commander, and there's a command, and I'm commanded. Commandee? Is that such a word? I don't know. Okay, we'll make it up, right? Okay, right. So the idea of mitzvah shechus kavanah is you do the mitzvah with the purpose of, because Hashem commanded. That's what the words mean. The Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, you have in mind two points, two words, the shem mitzvah. That's all you have to think. The shem mitzvah. No fancy Kabbalistic intention. Mitzvah shechus kavanah means you think the shem doing it because there's a command. We pass in by Deraisa's mitzvah shechus kavanah, which means if a person will do a mitzvah without kavanah, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. However, he says that he brings on the Chayotim that if a person, from the circumstances, it's obvious you're doing it because of the command. You know, I don't ever get up every morning and wrap black boxes on my arm and put, you know, why am I doing it? Because Hashem commanded it. I don't usually blow ram's horns except for on one day a year. There's a reason why I'm doing it, right? Etc. So all of those, it's obvious from my action why I'm doing it. But if, for example, he says, let's say you're benching with your children. I don't know why you're doing it. You might be doing it because you want to teach your children. You might be doing it because you want to bench yourself. So over there, if you would not have specific intents to fulfill the mitzvah benching, you would not be yotzei benching. You would have to bench again. That's Mishpura Paskins. So he suggests, actually, you might have two suggestions. He says either you should have specific intents, or possibly the opposite, have intent not to be yotzei, bench with your children, and bench again a second time afterwards. And not to get involved in this question. The Bir Loch and Simon Samach suggest that both possibilities are valid options. So. Another example which the Mishnah Berurah talks about is a person gets an aliyah. So I go up to put the talis on. Now the halach is a person wearing a talis which belongs to the tzibur. It's now you're part of the tzibur. So when you're using it, you have a right to. The only kaim it sits is if it's yours. It's mine. It belongs to the tzibur. I'm one of the tzibur. I should have intent to put my kaim mitzvah sitzes. So I put on the talis. I don't intend to do the mitzvah. Now I'm in mavatel the mitzvah, wearing a talis with tzitzis. I didn't have kavanah. So he says you should have a specific intent to fulfill. He said maybe the reason why nobody does that is because since you're only putting on for cover the tzibur, not really to. Maybe that's a good excuse. He's not sure if that's a good excuse or not. But at least the idea that the chachila person should try to have a kavanah over there. By mitzvah the rabbanon, the Magen Rom says that b'di'evad it's not ma'akev. The person by mitzvah the rabbanon, even without kavanah, you still be yotzei the mitzvah. By mitzvah the raisa, it is ma'akev. Okay, so we spoke about tefillin a little bit. Let's talk to the just one machshava point about tefillin, especially because tefillin is about machshava, as we saw already. A lot of machshava involved in the tefillin. So the pasuk says the man tiyatar shem beficha. So the netziv in his pirush hamikdaver says that if we're saying tefillin teaches you all these lessons, we have to assume that Torah for sure should teach you all these lessons. If the idea of wearing tefillin is to get this lesson on the cross, that Hashem is one, and He has power over the whole world, and He's taken out of His Mitzrayim, and I'm going to commit my mind and my soul and my heart to Him. If that's what it means, so we would assume that that's definitely going to be true when we're talking about learning Torah, that it should be done as such. Now, we understand that there's two ways to learn Torah. My Rashiba, Rav Gifter, we talk about this regularly. This is one of his. We used to say that any shmuz or shiva would start, whatever the shmuz topic was, the chachila, it would end up being about learning Torah. I don't care where he started, but the conversation moved back to learning Torah. That's where it ended up. And he talked about Torah, his eyes would light up, etc. So the Rashiba would talk about this idea that when we're learning Torah, I think I'm going to give him a mashal, which he didn't use, but I think the correct way to understand what it means to learn Torah, it's not an interesting study. I mean, I happen to enjoy math. Some people like that. People like chess, people like Sudoku, crosswords. It's an interesting challenge, right? So Torah is a fascinating intellectual challenge. That's not why you learn Torah. Says the mashal, which what I used to explain it is, in the good old days when the chassanim would write letters to their kallahs, right? So a kallah gets a letter from her chassan. She doesn't read it one time. She doesn't read it two times. She reads it multiple times. She puts it away, she pulls it out a few days later, she looks at it again, a letter from my chassan. And she has a big smile on her face while she's reading it. Right, she's enjoying the letter from her chassan. She puts away the box, and next thing you know, a few months later, she's the box, she pulls it out, and the next thing you know, afraid about housework, she's reading letters from her chassan, right? You walk in, Pesach cleaning, you walk in and you see your wife on the bed with this dreamy smile on her face, you know what happened? She found the box with the letters, right? Now imagine you're reading the letter, and she doesn't understand what he said. And she's trying to figure out what did he mean. It would bother her very much. I need to know what my chassan wrote me. I need to figure it out. It's important to me because it's been sent to me by somebody that is very dear to me, that I love very much, and I need to know what he said. That's how you learn Torah. The person who learns Torah is because it's something which is sent to us, it's given to us by the one who's most dear to us. Hashem loves us. Hashem cares about us, and He wants to give us direction for life, and He cares about, and we need to know what He said. We need to figure it out. So, why is that so important to us? Because He's the one who's the Echad. He's the one who's the source of everything. And we're doing this because we understand we need to commit back to Him as a wife commits to a husband. That's how we look at it. We look at it from that angle, and we understand that that's the goal and that's the purpose of what it means to learn Torah. So, the point that the Tzibah is saying that if tefillin act as the symbol, the reminder that we are in Hashem's service constantly, and that's what we have to think about. We would assume that would be so much more so when we learn Torah properly. That would say a few points. Over here. Just first of all, the shir today. I want to thank Rabbi Avakon. That shir was sponsored today. Lunish was his mother, Dina Bas Avram Abba Hakayim. Okay. I just also want to mention that my mother-in-law passed away this week, and the levi was earlier this week. And just this thought of the way a wife committed to a husband. I just tell you one cute story. My mother was European, so she grew up in the world of a regal woman. So my father-in-law never made a cup of coffee. It just didn't happen. He'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, but he needed a cup of coffee. My mother made the cup of coffee for him. That's what a mother wife does. He came back from a shir at 10 o'clock at night, needed a snack. My mother-in-law took care of him. So once we're sitting by the table, my wife served me dessert. She served dessert on paper plates, and myself included. And my mother-in-law says, "Your husband? The husband you don't serve on paper plates. Your guests? That's fine. Your husband you serve on china." That's how the wife was Marek, the husband. My father-in-law one time asked, he says, Rama says that husband is a melech in the house. She says, "What makes a husband a melech in the house?" So he told me that he once asked Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg this question. I said, "Daddy, excuse me, you were a melech in the house. Mommy made you a melech in the house. It was very simple how you were a melech in the house." But that was part of this idea. But we could transfer that thought to our relationship with Hashem, that Klal Yisrael is wed to Hashem, as it were, and that's why we learned her. That's how we learned her. Okay.